produced the evil. For justice apart, which we have seen is only a negation, is there any one of these legal arrangements that does not contain the principle of plunder? You say there are men who have no money, and you apply to the law. But the law is not a self-supplied fountain, whence every stream may obtain supplies independently of society. Nothing can enter the public treasury in favor of one citizen or one class but what other citizens and other classes have been forced to send to it. If everyone draws from it only the equivalent of what he has contributed to it, your law, it is true, is no plunderer, but it does nothing for men who want money. It does not promote equality. It can only be an instrument of equalization as far as it takes from one party to give to another, and then it is an instrument of plunder. Examine in this light the protection of tariffs, subsidies, right to profit, right to labor, right to assistance, free public education, progressive taxation, gratuitousness of credit, social workshops, and you will always find at the bottom legal plunder, organized injustice. You say, there are men who want knowledge, and you apply to the law. But the law is not a torch that sheds light that originates within itself. It extends over a society where there are men who have knowledge and others who have not, citizens who want to learn and others who are disposed to teach. It can only do one of two things. Either allow a free operation to this kind of transaction, that is, let this kind of want satisfy itself freely, or else preempt the will of the people in the matter and take from some of them sufficient to pay professors commissioned to instruct others for free. But in this second case, there cannot fail to be a violation of liberty and property, legal plunder. You say, here are men who are wanting in morality or religion, and you apply to the law. But law is force, and need I say how far it is a violent and absurd enterprise to introduce force in these matters? As the result of its systems and of its efforts, it would seem that socialism, notwithstanding all its self-complacency, can scarcely help perceiving the monster of legal plunder. But what does it do? It disguises it cleverly from others, and even from itself, under the seductive names of fraternity, solidarity, organization, association. And because we do not ask so much at the hands of the law, because we only ask it for justice, it alleges that we reject fraternity, solidarity, organization, and association, and they brand us with the name of individualist. We can assure them that what we repudiate is not natural organization, but forced organization. It is not free association, but the forms of association that they would impose upon us. It is not spontaneous fraternity, but legal fraternity. It is not providential solidarity, but artificial solidarity, which is only an unjust displacement of responsibility. Socialism, like the old policy from which it emanates, confounds government and society. And so, every time we object to a thing being done by government, it concludes that we object to its being done at all. We disapprove of education by the state. Well, then we are against education altogether. We object to a state religion. Then we would have no religion at all. We object to an equality which is brought about by the state when we are against equality, and so forth, and so forth. They might as well accuse us of wishing men not to eat because we object to the cultivation of corn by the state. How is it that the strange idea of making the law produce what it does not contain, prosperity in a positive sense, wealth, science, religion, should ever have gained ground in the political world? The modern politicians, particularly those of the socialist school, found their different theories upon one common hypothesis –